What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
Market moving insight and analysis. Join Jim Cramer, David Faber, and me, Carl Quintanilla, on the opening bell hour of CNBC's Squawk on the Street. Good Thursday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer, David Faber at the New York Stock Exchange. S&P looks to extend its win streak to six as a new round of companies raise guidance. Salesforce, Snowflake, Ulta, Box, Williams-Sonoma, Jackson Hole kicks off. Jobless claims and revised Q2 GDP are in line. 10-year 136. Our roadmap begins with watching the Fed tea leaves as Jackson Hole gets underway and at least one Fed president tells CNBC it is time to taper.
We are also keeping a close eye on COVID, of course. Hospitalizations topping 100,000. That's the first time they've done that since January.
And supply chain uncertainty. A number of retailers point to higher costs from manufacturing shortages and port backlogs. What Rick Ryder was just saying, though, about corporates and free cash flow and the guidance, Jim, that we're getting from the likes of Salesforce and Snow, which you heard last night on your show.
I'm so glad you went with what Rick Ryder was saying, because that is the theme. The cash flow of these companies, of Salesforce, big Dow stock, extraordinary. Just making so much money. And if you listen to that conference call, you would say, one, it's okay to taper. But two, and this is something, new theme, Europe is incredibly strong. Europe is ahead of us in terms of vaccinations, that they were behind us. People don't wear masks. People do business face-to-face. There's just a lot of business being done in Europe. The numbers that I'm seeing are extraordinary from the continent. And much better than U.S.
U.K., Germany coming back. I know that. Yeah.
Talked to the CEO
yesterday, who's got business in those areas. And they were, I mean, they went up then down sharply.
Right.
And now back.
So you're hearing it too.
Yes.
Spain much better.
Or ECB
better.
Yesterday said Delta's not going to impact, has limited impact on the EU economy.
Well, you get a pass. People have business as if it were, there were no anti-vaxxers in Europe.
So you got Europe. Hanging in.
Yes.
You got PBOC promising liquidity.
Yes.
You've got infrastructure here passing procedural hurdles. So is it any wonder we're at 137?
Well, I mean, I got to tell you that I think that Speaker Pelosi is going to get her trillions. The companies are getting their billions. Europe has turned in a dramatic fashion, which had been just a black hole for a lot of companies. China's going to provide liquidity. Let's move on. I mean, let's just go higher.
Let's move on to what? What are we moving on to?
Into a real world where business is great and we don't have to worry about the Fed either way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those who think that this whole move is the Fed, see, they're wrong. Because when you're listening to the companies like Snowflake, Frank Slootman, wow. When you look at Williams-Sonoma, mm-hmm. where this is Laura Alber, who is coming on another show tonight and hurt my feelings. But that's okay, because it's just business.
Yeah.
But they did a 98% wedding registry. I just happen to love that number.
About Williams-Sonoma. We're looking at Snowflake right now. Which
Snowflake is.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, this man is doing 100% sales growth.
Now we're back to Snowflake, right?
Well, I'm trying.
I know you're jumping around. Now we're on Williams-Sonoma.
Okay.
I'm just trying to get you to keep track so that our viewers know.
I went 100%.
Go back to Laura Albert. Talk about
Williams-Sonoma.
To Snowflake.
Okay, I went... Let me see. I want 100% growers for 500.
Okay, that's Snowflake.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, Snowflake. Okay, now I would like to have $10 billion companies in 2 years.
Okay.
4,000.
Williams-Sonoma?
Yes, okay.
Yes,
I want to do five out of five quarters of plus 20% growth.
That's Salesforce.
Yes.
What
is Salesforce? So there. That was last night's
business.
That's
a giant tower in San Francisco that is empty.
It's empty.
Empty.
But you just got all of those right. Now, 56% growth, same store sales growth?
What is Ulta?
Ulta. Last night was really just a cornucopia, with the exception of Autodesk, which was slightly disappointing. I mean, even Splunk, which I've been concerned about, mm-hmm. they were on closing bell. Doug Mert did a pretty good job. Now they're switching their model, so it's harder to tell. But last night was just one after another of greatness. And I found myself thinking, you know what, Jackson Hole, why don't you just go climb Mount Teton, have a good time, see you later.
You mean knock yourself out?
Knock yourself
out. Taper away?
Yeah, yeah. I'd rather go to Jackson Heights than Jackson Hole at this point, because there's business being done there.
A lot better restaurants, too.
Really?
Oh, yeah, great.
What is it? What kind of food?
All sorts.
Really?
I mean, yeah, one of the meccas of all sorts
Jackson
of different
Jackson Heights over Jackson Hole. That's Jackson, what I'm Jackson thinking about. Heights Main Queens. Street versus whatever yeah. they do out there virtually or whatever.
Elk. Well, yeah, they're not even there.
Yeah, they're not even there. Elk.
Yeah, actually, Jackson Hole is one of the poster children for wealth inequality in this country. I don't know if you've seen some of the demographic data, but it's sort of
really,
poetic that they hold.
Okay,
the
you want that? You want?
And by the way, has only gone up dramatically yeah. since, because so many people have bought second homes and or primary residences now because they feel like they can work remotely.
What are you talking about? Come the revolution, it's going to be a bad place.
Okay, so it is a beautiful place.
Okay, so let me just tell you. You think that's beautiful? The toughest man in business, toughest person in business, man, is Frank Slootman from Snowflake, the Flying Dutchman. He once did pretty much call me an idiot for not understanding his business model. That's okay. I had studied it for about 5 hours, still didn't understand. That's his old company.
No, he called me one too, I think.
Yeah, he did. Oh, yeah. He called you out.
Yeah.
This is when he ran ServiceNow. Frank said something to me last night that was extraordinary. He's moved to Bozeman. He said, the productivity now. Pretty funny. The productivity now is so great. Why? Because you can make people work 7 days. It's not a problem. They can work around the clock. It's very different. You used to have to go to the office. They would leave the office. No more. Now it's just work all the time, and you don't travel. It's never been this good. This is a big boost to productivity. Work at home is a joke. It's work.
Maybe why operating margins came in well above,
yeah.
and they now see product revenue in the low 90s, prior mid-80s. Here's
incredible.
What Slootman told Jim.
Data is becoming the beating heart of the modern enterprise, the modern institution. Digital transformation, you've heard that term, you know, thrown around probably once too many times, but that's really what this is. And certainly COVID accelerated that because we were so upside down on so many things that data is the way that we are really parsing and observing what is going on in our world.
Well, let's just understand. Let's say Peacock, okay, a customer. They want to be able to push certain things to you. They get your demo, they get your information, but they don't violate your privacy, okay? So you get served an ad that is exactly what is right. So it's the first real targeted in real time, and they can do it for healthcare. They can do it for all sorts of verticals, say a lot of financial verticals. And it's you rent it, basically. This is a consumption model.
Right.
It is not a subscription model. Some people criticize that, say they can't make as much money. Don't bet against Frank Slootman. He's saying $10 billion in sales by 2029. But one of the things that he really wants to make the point of is that when you go into business now, you should really much expect that there's no time that you can't be on call from your CEO.
Well, that's an interesting point because so many CEOs right now, and we'll talk about COVID and hospitalization, so many, though, are trying to make decisions right now, again, in terms of back to work, back to office, when. What hybrid's going to look like, mental health of their employees, whether or not it really is healthy for people to be working from home all the time, and then worries about losing people who are committed to remote work full time, but not having people attached to the organization in a real way or a cultural way, because, I mean, you're talking about people now have been working from home for a year and a half.
Well,
conceivably will be two, and many who don't ever want to come back to the office.
Well, I don't know if we have a quote from Doug Yearley, who's the CEO of Toll Brothers, but affordable luxury is the way that millennials like to live. They have an affordable house. They build the office. Of course, that means it's a Home Depot and Lowe's situation, or, of course, Williams-Sonoma. And they just have to work all the time. Now, this is my definition of nirvana, but I'm probably an outlier.
Yes, I think you are. I think you are, as we know. You're a man who's
going back and forth with Benioff at 3:30 in the morning because he's in Geneva.
You're
going to
regret all the time you work, but you know that's all right. You know that.
I told you it's on my tombstone.
I did. You did.
Jim might be the one guy who says, "I wish I'd spend more time at the office."
Working.
I wish I had spent more time at the office. I love this work from home. On weekends, you can get people to do anything. It's really incredible.
That's just not good. It's not
for who?
Good. Well, for Guy Fawkes-Sleepman, it's good, but for everybody, well, for people,
well,
yeah,
for,
it's not
for U.S. productivity, which is a huge thesis right now, it's going to get us through the next
five
years.
It's going to be
years.
So incredible. The number, but the tour I, number, more of that you, Washington Post piece on productivity.
So you, but you and I, we've talked about this a lot, but it's so important, and believe me, so many CEOs are trying to figure this out. You can cite all the productivity numbers you want, but what is being lost by not having people back in the office? What is being lost in terms of problem solving, in terms of innovation, in terms of it, having people attached to an organization they feel some loyalty to? That's going to play out over time.
That could. It could.
And conceivably could be a negative. And so you do have a lot of CEOs who, you know, and again, it may just default to their own personal preference, but...
Look at the upgrade of Zoom today.
Hold the buy. 360 goes to 400. The quarter is going to be better, I believe. Zoom, Slack, and Salesforce is now the new allies. They're the allies.
Right.
And that's how you're going to communicate. And you're going to be able to communicate, say whatever you want underneath your Zoom picture. And let's say you're talking to someone in, who's German. It translates you perfect. I mean,
no
this is the new world.
Apparently,
it's a good
Zoom
way to do
needs
business.
To make some progress in terms of people in the office who are congregated together on a Zoom,
you
talking
can...
to people who are out of the office. That doesn't work
but
so well.
But what is
so
the
far.
Mental health? I was in a pretty big meeting in terms of six people and one guy on the screen, and we just like the one guy on the screen is like forgot him entirely.
Yeah,
he could be doing anything he want. I mean, not like a CNN New Yorker thing, but you know, he could do whatever he wants.
So you don't buy the corporate Darwinist idea that if I'm in the office with the boss and you're my rival and you're not in, I have the edge, or my project gets approved.
Well, that's a Goldman thing. I mean, that's a Goldman thing.
It's also a Blackstone thing and a lot of other places.
Yeah, but it's
thing.
Financial, but no one wants to work financial anymore. They get the second tier guys now at Wharton. They don't go with
stuff. Wow, maybe you're right.
I used to be able to get the first three guys at Wharton when I was at Goldman. Mm-hmm. I could now get the bottom of the class, and they stay for 3 months, and they go to a hedge fund.
No,
the top guys
go
just go to
equity.
The top guys go to Facebook and Alphabet. They say, listen, you know, let's make some money.
So where does it leave us on vaccines? We have this FDA approval of Pfizer, and Moderna's submitted theirs for final approval. You got more corporate mandates, more city mandates, the city of Chicago today. And these vax requirements at concerts and restaurants and sports, LSU,
yep.
The Saints. Is that
going
to drive a stair step?
I think the thing it's really the CEOs I've talked to in the last 24 hours actually had a pretty good read on people. The Delta, the change in health.
Yes.
Is the one that's going to make people. That's it. Not all these other things. These other things are going to be able to be outliers, get away with it. But changing your health care insurance that you're paying more than the
that? Well, also, but you do have a lot more. Once Pfizer got full approval as well.
But that's important, the health
it
insurance.
Is.
You're just
but versus even a few weeks ago, a lot more corporations now are ready to say mandate.
They
period.
Feel they can do it. And I think that one of the things that's happened is that Frank Del Rio, the Norwegian cruise line, says, listen, no vax, no cruise. That's going to turn out to be the way of the future. And the anti, look, it's, what, 70%? You know what? I'll just go a step further. It looks like that Gottlieb is going to turn up being right. That Saturday night, Saturday night at like 11:43 p.m. was the peak. I'm being a little more specific
mm-hmm.
than he is.
Yes.
But that's the peak. That's it. Because what we didn't count on was that the companies would come down with hobnail boots. You work for these companies. It's no longer, you know, they always used to come on and say, we strongly encourage. Oh, that language is out. Now we say, you want to stay?
It doesn't sound like Texas Governor Abbott's attempts to outlaw mandates are going to go anywhere.
No, he's like the outlaw Josie Wales. That
and
guy.
A lot of school districts in Florida are defying the governor in that state, mandating.
Oh, that guy has been completely marginalized by that federal district court ruling. By Jeff Sonnenfeld, by the way,
all
talking
right.
about the 1905 ruling.
If Gottlieb is right, and we're right, and
look
and
at that list.
Infection rates start to come down dramatically. Is that another leg up for
absolutely
business and the economy?
That's the way Europe's turned around. I'm very excited.
You are?
Yeah, I'm very excited that Gottlieb's going to turn out to be right again. Who is Gottlieb? I mean, I know he's on the boards of Illumina and Pfizer, but and he's got a new book, a bestseller,
CNBC
hasn't come out yet.
And thankfully, we signed him as a CNBC contributor. Who knew?
Don't you love how he's... And I think that this... I mean, he is matter-of-fact nature.
Joe can throw whatever he...
Oh,
it doesn't
no.
matter.
And he's
nothing.
Just impasse. Again, he is just the rock of Gibraltar.
He is.
He substitutes for the governor. Eric Topol... And God, they're the government, the shadow government. They know much more than the actual government. I have to tell us, Gottlieb was the greatest sign-up we ever had. Right up, him, and he was like Babe Ruth going from the Sox to the Yanks.
He's going to be starting to ask for more money now.
He's got a Ted Williams here. He's got a Ted Williams here, the guy. He's a 401 hitter. He's going to be cryogenically preserved.
He's young. He doesn't have to worry about that.
Take a look at futures. They were green for most of the morning, maybe a little bit more mixed, but we're going to keep our eye on some of the Fed commentary that's rolling in. S&P's shooting at least for 6 days up, and we'll get to a lot of chip news. Apple, ADI, Western Dig, Taiwan Semi, and more. Don't go anywhere.
The spirit of performance defines Acura, and now it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system and up to 313-mile range on a single charge, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric could never be. It was built with the driver in mind, just like Acura has been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience this electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Wouldn't it be great to have all your investment and retirement accounts in one place? Yahoo Finance, our sponsor today, makes it easy. I use it to put my investment account and 401k accounts into one hub and get expert tips that help me confidently manage my money. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. Whether you're a seasoned investor or are looking for that extra guidance, Yahoo Finance gives you all the tools and data you need in one place. They're the number one finance destination, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and so much more. Securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including 401k and other investments. A comprehensive perspective is what sets apart great investors, and it's how Yahoo Finance ensures you have the insight to look at your wealth in its entirety. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com.
Retailers are once again a big story today. We mentioned Williams-Sonoma up this morning, but Dollar General, Dollar Tree under some pressure, each missing on full-year guide amid rising supply chain costs, which was actually a similar story at Smucker, Jim, which also warns about...
Yeah, Smucker gross margins were terrible. The Dollar General, Dollar Tree, we know that they've got tremendous traffic. That's been one of the stories. The traffic has been great, but they're not capitalizing on it as they should have. These are shocking, frankly, because everyone's been saying, I mean, like, the chatter had been that this is where people are going.
Yes.
Well, they obviously, if they're going, they're taking the wood to Dollar Tree. I mean, they ended Dollar General. I think that you have to go to a Williams-Sonoma where people are talking about the home. She's talking about the investments in the home. Now, remember, she's digital first, but not digital only. But she's talking about there's been decades of investment in tech in her company. So her supply chain is better, though she still said there are issues. My favorite was Best Buy, which said, listen, we got chips. We have our own chips. I mean, I think that what you're going to have to start thinking about if you're in this business is you're going to have to take it, right? You break it, take it to yourself. You have to just run this thing.
Right. Well, you've made this point, and I think it's an important one to come back to, which is those that are winning against Amazon and those that are not yet figured it out.
Yeah. You have to take a couple of bad hits. So Laura Alber, who's on today, she decided to basically destroy some quarters and spend a lot on tech. Corey Baird, the woman who runs
Best Buy,
she took some big hits in tech.
But you know what? What about the biggest one of all, Walmart? Where do we think that stands in terms of its true competition with Amazon and you know, on the retail front, obviously, in so many different ways?
You know, they're very happy with their same-store sales. They're experimenting with that very interesting insulin, you know, where they have their own private label insulin.
Yep.
That's the watch list that I came up with in my attempt to have funny acronyms like FANG. Yep. I'm not happy with where Walmart is. Walmart Plus is not picking up what it should because it's just not offering the value proposition. Now, they're adamant that it is, but they've got to offer something that is really proprietary to Walmart. where they make it so you want to go to the stores. They should go. I mean, I don't mean to. I happen to like Doug McMillon very much, but you should. He should go listen to Brian Cornell. Well, he has listened to Brian Cornell's Comps Gold because Brian's the master. He's really figured out how to do it.
We'll talk about Nordstrom as well. Downgraded again. This time, yeah. Morgan Stanley today to underweight after J.P. Morgan yesterday. We'll get Cramer's Matt Dash countdown to the opening bell on a pretty busy Thursday for August. Futures are mixed. We're back in a moment.
1 in 8. That's how many people have worked at a McDonald's. Full serve millions the best Big Mac and best birthday party they've ever had. Who haven't just seen kids graduate from a Happy Meal, but have gotten help graduating themselves. Because they know the skills learned here.
Bienvenidos. Welcome to English Under the Arches.
Can por help favor, you grow average. From here or keep growing here.
Hi, welcome to
1 in 8, start at McDonald's. And where you start stays with you.
It's just been a phenomenal quarter. Again, we've just had incredible record revenue growth, but also look at this margin expansion. It's just amazing. And, you know, we're more committed to expanding our margins than ever. And on top of that, we're continuing to deliver solid cash flow improvement. And it's really amazing.
All right, time for the Mad Dash. Mr. Benioff says it's really amazing. You agree?
Yeah, I do. It was kind of a stunning quarter. If you think about what this company is doing, this is not a small cap company, but David, their last 5 quarters, you have to do a rolling cumulative summary because you know they do subscription accounting. They've had, hard to get this, but 5 out of 5 quarters has had greater than 20% growth, 3 out of 5 greater than 20% margin improvement. There's $36 billion on the books from the, you know, those performance RPO, which is not the run pass option, but is a way to be able to remaining performance obligations. And what I would say is that this Slack acquisitions is looking already like a big success. They picked up Target and Lowe's. They've got a bunch of customers.
Right. I mean, they're talking, what, high 30s%?
39%.
Yeah, so revenue growth.
That's amazing. And what you're doing is you're getting one that we, you know, sometimes the cutting room floor gives you even better ones. I didn't get to be able to say this, but Robinhood, they've done a lot of good work with Robinhood for sales. For
Salesforce being, has done with
yes,
Robinhood.
Yes, and there, right. What they're working on is what's known as one of Mark's points of single source of truth. That basically saying, listen, you're going to get safety right. You got to change your orientation. No more growth for growth's sake. And I think that he's had a major impact and talked about how he's been an investor. And the real takeaway of Robinhood, as well as others, do you know that he's the biggest venture capitalist in the Valley?
Really?
Number one.
When you say venture capitalist, you mean a separate fund that they are making at Salesforce?
Exactly.
Why are they doing that? Is that core to their business?
At this point, it just happens to be diaspora, people who worked at Salesforce, whom Mark just knows personally, and he invests in them. And
is that company money or is that Benioff money?
He does some stuff. He doesn't care. He just gives everything away.
It's company money.
But it's company money, and it's a really rather impressive group. And then he does acquire a company. He calls them the Unicorns.
So, by the way, can we go back? Remember when they had that huge, the original, that was the move there, right, off that last quarter?
Right.
And now they're almost, yeah, all right.
Doesn't have the big break that he had with Microsoft over LinkedIn.
Right.
That's never been repaired.
Never.
Never. When you put the Slack together, when he put Tableau, they're up. They're up. Slootman, Zoom, that's another one of their companies, Eric Yuan. They're up against the Microsoft giant.
All right.
Take the allies over the axis.
Got it. I've got an opening bell coming up, and I always tell you right now, because I want you to remember this, that you can catch us anytime, anywhere. You can listen to and follow the Squawk on the Street opening bell podcast. You can listen to Jim again, make sense of what he's told you the first time. Do it. Check it out.
I think we're going to get at least 2.5% inflation in 2022. Maybe higher than that, and there's some risk to the upside on that. So for that reason, I think we want to get going on taper, get the taper finished by the end of the first quarter next year, and then we can evaluate what the situation is. We'll be able to see at that point whether inflation has moderated, and in that case, we'll be in great shape. If it hasn't moderated, we're going to have to be more aggressive to contain inflation.
That's a St. Louis Fed President Jim Bullard earlier this morning on Squawk Box, saying that the Fed is, in his words, Jim, coalescing around a plan to begin the taper. And he thinks Powell will give us a, quote, good assessment tomorrow of where things stand.
About 6 years ago, Mr. Bullard put out on a Friday night SiriusXM interview the exact opposite of what he's doing here, which is he dropped a bomb. This is him really doing what you always hope, which is a guy saying, look, we're approaching it in common sense. Right now we're okay. If it gets hotter, we can move. But business is good in the country. And I think that we're going to have to see what happens if these unemployment benefits roll off. But I like what he had to say. And he basically says, okay, look, take us off the table. We'll be fine. You do your business. I like that, David.
Good. Well, you've had your issues with Bullard in the past, so.
Not anymore. I've made peace with Bullard.
I know you have.
Well, I don't really. Well, it's like I said, I made peace with Darren Wood, but I'm not on a first-name basis with Darren.
You call him Mr. Woods.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that, you know, I don't. James and I, we don't. It's not. I'm just saying that I thought he did a good job.
Yeah.
It's much more of a one way. I think he's doing a good job. By the way, if Denbury is bought by Exxon.
Yes.
Then all the pressure will go away.
Got it. Right.
I'm earning my investment banking fee. I'm just letting it happen.
Carbon capture. Understood.
Carbon capture is the most important story you can possibly have.
It is an very important. And yes. Actually, we got to follow it more closely. Maybe we'll get down there at Exxon and visit with them a little bit.
You agree with me?
I do.
From the Fed to Exxon to the opening bell, software company Globant, celebration of their new listing. I guess the NASDAQ as well, HR software and services company Paychex, celebrating their 50th anniversary. By the way, the CEO is going to be on Tech Check this morning at 11 a.m. Eastern time. By the way, Esther George of Kansas City sort of echoed Bullard. She said, look, Delta is a risk factor, but if the framework is substantial further progress, we're doing that. We're doing exactly that.
The common sense is coming from these guys is quite heartening because it's nothing that the American business community has to worry about. That's why I keep emphasizing, focus on the business community. Don't focus on the Fed. The Fed is not going to screw it up. They're going to let you make money, expand your payrolls. In the end, we're going to have more people in the country, David. I know that sounds odd. In the end, let me really go off the reservation. In the end, Biden proposes amnesty.
You're talking about immigration
yes.
now and or because we need demographically, we need more working age
people. We need 10 million people.
It's been a huge priority for the Chamber of Commerce and the National Association of Manufacturers, which we're going to speak in the next hour as well.
That will be such an important interview because I think that we're going to have to get used to the fact that the Democrats and the Republicans are coalescing on the idea that it needs to be amnesty.
I don't really believe that's the case. At least not based on the Republican Party at this point.
No, the Republicans want cheap labor. Well, I don't mean to make that sound.
There's an element of the Republican Party that's very anti-immigration, isn't there?
Am
I wrong in saying that?
Well, I think that the business community used to be so important in the Republican Party. It's not.
No,
so you're absolutely right. The Tea Party, when we see an amnesty, but the American, but the NAM is a, you know, that look, that's an organization of what I would call middle-of-the-road Babbitt types. How about that? A little St. Clair Lewis.
Well, I mean, we have yet to have any significant legislation on immigration in this country, reform, you know, with new laws in what's it been? I mean, George W. Bush tried. It's close.
I'm saying
get it there.
But this time I'm saying it could be on the agenda because we don't have enough workers. Maybe more women can. Gina Raimondo, the Secretary of Commerce, could be right. Women come back to the workforce after school starts. But I think that we just need more workers. And it's an incredible thing that we're doing trillions of dollars of job creation when we don't have any people to work.
Yeah.
Everyone's got a job and wants a job. What?
We still have a very high unemployment rate.
When the unemployment
rate. So you're talking about when things, what?
Well, right now, I'm competing at my restaurant offering $18 an hour against people who are show up, don't want the job, and are making $23 an hour because the federal government.
Well, that's ending. And by the way, it continues to be very much unclear whether states that ended it earlier have actually benefited from a return to work.
I completely disagree with you.
Well,
I completely disagree with you.
Carl has been following this closely, too, and a lot of the data says no.
You're going to tell me that DoorDash is wrong, that Lyft is wrong, and you're going to go against Uber? I mean, aren't the three, isn't that the gig economy? All three of them said to me that look, we've got, once you take the benefits off, Lyft, Once you take them off, you get an explosion of drivers who all need about 10 hours additional revenue. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, there definitely is conflicting evidence. Goldman has done a couple charts that back your idea up. Others argue otherwise.
Is it Costin?
Yeah. I think it is Hotsius, actually.
I don't know. Those two guys are titans right now.
Yes.
Semblist, Hotsius, and Costinius.
I'll tell you, Jim, what's at a two-month high today is J.P. Morgan, 163 in the neighborhood as we...
So glad you mentioned that. It's finally getting the multiple expansion. People at home, what that means is you're finally seeing this incredible franchise break away from the pack. But let's understand, J.P. Morgan, even at 162, is selling at 11 times earnings. That is unbelievable. Jamie Dimon must just be just so livid. Imagine he comes to work every day and says my multiple's ridiculous.
He's been saying that for a very long time. He's probably gotten over it.
He doesn't get over anything.
Yeah.
He remembers every slight.
It's true. It's true. He does. I saw that firsthand. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Been a long time.
I like the guy.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a time when I criticized him on air, and he wasn't thrilled, frankly. Yeah, about Goldman Sachs, David. What do you think about the multiple? What do you think of multiples Goldman?
Low. 7?
Sheesh, you're good.
Yeah. Thank you.
Oh my God. 7.
Yeah.
Now, the guy who's still upset about his multiple, by the way, that I think he has no reason to be upset about versus his contemporaries, is James Corman. Because he's thinking, why is he 14 times earnings when he's kind of an investment advisor?
Right, and should have a higher multiple based on recurring revenue. Although Goldman will tell you, listen, we got a Blackstone buried inside here, you know, in terms of what we are doing on alternative assets, permanent capital.
So who do you think has got the best model?
Who do I think has the best? I'm not going to offer an opinion
Morgan
on that.
Stanley.
Really?
I know that you like sticky money. They have sticky money.
They do have sticky money, and they have diverged significantly. Although, interestingly, Goldman and Morgan Stanley stock prices are up within a few percent of each other on the year, the same amount, 57%.
Brian Moynihan should be brought in the conversation. He's doing such a great job. I'll tell you, when I look at these companies, I just think
he's been in that job
they can buy back stock. It's the only additive right now for buyback stock. It's Citi. Citi's a complicated story that I don't want to lump in with these others.
We talk about Citi as being the real laggard. Of course, a new CEO, relatively new earlier this year. We'll see how it goes there. The only one with a truly global franchise, though. Right? I mean, really. That's where as a multinational, that cash management they've got all over the world.
Right, Mr. Smarty Pants, there's another company that has a woman CEO.
Yes.
That is worldwide.
Yes.
Is having an amazing quarter, and I think is going to be known as the banker of the future. Anna Boutin.
In
Santander. 3.7% yield. Starting to really grow. Putting up some great numbers. Having a really good fall. Summer, fall, the business is good. I have to tell you, she's going to be in the conversation when you talk about international banks. Anna Boutin.
Anna Boutin.
J.P. Morgan, by the way.
Yeah.
But the Boutins are royalty in Spain.
Interesting. There's a couple other silos we need to dig into. One is Dollar General. Down 7% is going to take you all the way back, Jim, to late July. Comps were down a little bit better than a little less than we thought. And they do see the full year 960. They raise the low end.
Yeah.
But overall, if you're a retailer and you don't overwhelm with positive qualitative comment, you get punished.
Yeah. I mean, look, they're not going to be in the Nordstrom category. And Nordstrom is that's a Toto situation, David. Nordstrom.
And so what's it?
Toto.
Toto.
Turn off the oxygen. I don't know what to do with Nordstrom.
What?
They came
horrible. Stock was down yesterday.
Did you see the Eisenhower? She had a good interview.
Yes,
Sarah.
Yes.
But I've got to tell you that Dollar General, all they did, this is how you get punished. People are looking for 950 to 1020. They only took the 960 to 1020,
right.
And that's enough. That's the kiss of death. Obviously, their forecast was not that good. Again, does this say that food stamps are supposed to help them? A lot of people felt that. A lot of people felt that the strapped consumer goes there. I think they go to Walmart. Walmart did not have, Walmart's traffic wasn't that good, but Walmart's grocery business is great. Have you seen Kroger?
Not recently, no.
That's a remarkable turnaround for the largest supermarket chain. It's fantastic. Now, the largest grocer in the country is Walmart.
Is Walmart, yeah. Guys, I want to talk SPACs a little bit this morning.
Look at how pathetic Walmart stock is. Will you look at
that? Yeah, you've talked about it. It was Kroger, of course.
Oh, Kroger.
I did want to come back to SPACs, guys. This theme that I hit on yesterday, these enormous amount of shares being redeemed on deals that are closing. In other words, shareholders vote in favor, but more of the shareholders than not also say, I'm out of here. I want my 10 bucks or whatever it is, a little over 10 bucks. Got two today. GWAC, that's with Cipher Mining. 76% of the shares were redeemed. 76%.
What?
So you had 87.9% of the votes cast at the meeting, representing about 57% of the outstanding shares as of the record date, voting in favor. Deal's going to close. But it's going to close with a lot less cash than they had because 76% of the SPAC holders said, I want our money back. Tortoise Acquisition 2, SNPR is the symbol there, with Volta Industries. That's an EV charging company. 96% of the votes cast on the business combination proposal at the meeting were in favor of approval. But 70% of the shares redeemed. 70% said, nah, we're out of here. And again, this is having the effect of reducing the minimum cash requirement. Some of them are below that, and then you need the company that's being acquired to waive it, say we're going to be okay dealing with 70% less cash, at least from the trust, than we thought. I mean, that gets you to today's latest deal. You see Forbes is announcing it's going to go public through a SPAC, Magnum Opus. They're going to enterprise value of Forbes is going to be $630 million. That's net of tax benefits. But this is what I'm talking about, right? $600 million of gross proceeds, and $200 million is coming from the Magnus Opus trust. That is assuming no redemptions. Well, what if you get 70, 80% redemptions on this? Now, I'm not saying you will, but near close. You're going to end up with a lot less cash. Obviously, you throw the pipe in, and that helps. So this is something we're watching closely. Yesterday, we featured a stock that faced an enormous short squeeze because it had incredibly high redemption, but voted in favor, and the deal closed. Today, there's another one that I'm looking at, BLUW. Take a look at the shares of this. The meeting hasn't happened yet. We don't know whether there's an approved deal or not, but it's going crazy.
And this is the same phenomenon.
I can only assume it was people who are short who are now worried that you're going to get enormous redemptions, but the deal's going to close, but you're going to have reduced the amount of outstanding shares dramatically, hence you're not going to be able to cover and or borrow. That's the only thing I can come up with here, unless there's some other reason I don't know about, which may be the case.
It's $183 million company, but that's not true, right? Because after SPAC.
Right. They bring in, right. It's the share count changes. But in this case, the share count, who knows where it's going to be because you've got so many people. I don't know what the redemption is going to be. We don't even know.
How do you vote in favor of something and then tender against?
Well, you know what? That happens in risk arb, where you get a record date. You get risk arbs who vote in favor of the deal, who own the shares by the record date, but then sell prior to the close.
Right. That's
exactly
right.
So it does happen. Yeah.
But, David, this is obviously the beginning of this trend. Someone's going to have
redemptions are incredibly high, and that is having an effect of reducing the cash requirements. The question is whether the companies are saying, hey, forget it, and whether the sponsors are trying to renegotiate in some way on behalf of their holders, or whether the sponsors perhaps are still so incented because they make money down to $4
theme,
or $3 in the stock price.
All the turtles. Is there a theme?
I don't.
No, okay. No. I mean, is there somebody?
What do you think of Forbes? You want to buy Forbes?
No.
You know that business. You actually know that business pretty well.
Politico's off the market. You see Axel Springer buying Politico today.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, a lot of moves in media.
These are all moves that are happening at a breathtaking pace for an industry that is consolidating quickly, but for what? For who?
Right. I want to get you quickly on chips. Because the Journal does confirm that Taiwan Semi is going to raise prices for their advanced products by about 10%. Look forward to paying a little bit more for electronics in the coming quarters. There's the Western Digital story from last night, Jim. Apple Insider says that Apple's considering hiking prices on iPhone 13 to make up for those chip prices.
Well, if this merger goes through with this QXC, excuse me if I'm mispronouncing it, Western Digital, this would be a nightmare for everybody that uses flash, which is, you know, remember, there's DRAM, flash are the two things that kind of the basic building blocks. And the consolidation would be Samsung would have 35%, Western Digital would have 30%, and Micron would have 15%. Everybody's price would be raised by this. Is it an outrageous thing if it happens? Well, I would never, if I were a regulator, I would say you can't do it. Hmm. But it would make it so that NAND prices would go up dramatically, and that's something that you don't want if you're any company.
But does it push out your projection that the chip balance, the equilibrium, would be coming hopefully by the end of the year?
At this point now, there are people who source better than others source. Chuck Robbins has had some problems, but has sourced very well. I know, David, you're going to say, Jim, what is it with you? But Ford has sourced better than GM.
Okay. Well, that's a fair point.
Ford is going to have the chips it needs for the F-150 Lightning, which is their bestseller already, but without even having it in the market.
Right.
But I think that we should not just lump together all of these companies. Now, one thing I'm interested in is Global Foundries. Now, there was a story that Intel was interested in buying them. Global Foundries is going to come.
That hasn't gone anywhere.
Well, I don't even know, if it's true.
I know. I'm not sure either.
But they'll come public, and we'll get a better read on this industry. But it's the foundries. Taiwan Semi's a remarkable company. It's why I keep saying we got to preserve Taiwan no matter what. Now, Taiwan's very pro-U.S. I'm not saying that they're, but the Chinese do not want Taiwan Semi to be in the orb of the United States. They want it very much in the orb of China. So.
Guys, I wanted to just end with, or not necessarily end, but Activision Blizzard, a rare up day for ATVI. Stock down about 3.2% this year. Goldman Sachs says it's one of its top non-FANG 2022 ideas. And you can see that. Of course, don't...
based on what? The reclosing of the country?
Well, they say that, while there has been some recent media reports of workplace disruptions and even some high-profile departures... really, we know game development teams are large, and there's a lot of people. And these games specifically have been in development for years. In our view, this speaks to how a significant number of developers would need to leave in order to meaningfully derail the development process.
I think it's true. Did you read Bobby Kotick on the conference call?
The first seven pages
were about how he workforce.
Did you also read the most recent amended complaint from the Department of Fair Employment and Housing in California? The one that includes charges that they are informed and aware that documents and records have not been maintained as required by law, including but not limited to documents related to investigations and complaints were shredded by human resource personnel, and emails are deleted 30 days after. Now, that may be a normal course of business. In fact, for its part, Activision is quoted here as saying, with regards to claims that we've destroyed information by shredding documents, those claims are not true.
Right.
And they took appropriate steps to preserve information related to the investigation. This thing's not going away. Read that lawsuit. Whoa. Amended as of a few days ago.
I have Bobby on. I've known Bobby since
when?
He was...
When has he been on? Recently?
Yeah, for the last quarter. I've known Bobby since he was 15.
I've known Bobby
16.
A very long time.
I've known him since he was 16. When did you know him for?
Maybe not that long.
Bobby built an amazing company. And Candy Crush, that was a great acquisition. But these human resources issues are... probably
more than a human resource issue. They're getting sued by California for harassment and all sorts of other things.
What are they going to do?
They're going to defend themselves, and we'll see where it ends up. But to say that Bobby's not on the hot seat, come on.
No, Bobby's totally on the hot seat, but are you going to put a special master in to see what's going on? I mean, boom, boom, room? What are you talking about?
I don't know.
It's not good. I thought he might have put it past them until this.
Right.
Because the Goldman note. Yeah, look, they have superior products and great products. So, Strauss Zelnick has fantastic products, and obviously Grand Theft, and that stock can't get out of its own way because these are companies that are perceived as being sayonara, I'm going outside, I'm going to do my work. That's what's happening in America, David.
Understood.
Yeah,
although you got know that by the way, you got me into some trouble on Twitter with this immigration stuff. Illegal immigration.
Twitter.
Right, illegal immigration.
God, Twitter. I mean,
Not legal.
I mean, I was with someone last night and said, you're the most polarizing force on Twitter.
Us into it.
And I said, yes, I don't think Twitter would disagree with
that. And then some real
I'm a financial guy.
Crazy.
I mean, what did I do?
Avoid these other... I love talking finance. Can we not... maybe we can avoid these hot-button issues.
I don't want this finance.
You bring us into it every day.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, but we have to move on.
Ooh. Sweat.
That's somebody in my ear.
We're going to be okay. I believe
we are going to be okay.
Right. When we come back, the Jackson Hole Fed Summit on Wall Street's radar as we tread a little bit of water here. Don't miss a first on CNBC interview with Dallas Fed President Robert Kaplan. First, though, a look at the bond report as we keep our eye on treasuries ahead of Powell tomorrow morning. 10-year right around 1.358. And oil's notable, too, dragging lower after three very solid days on crude. Back in a moment.
Is it hot in here today?
Keep your eye on crypto today. A couple pieces on the tape about the rally potentially running out of steam, some of the technical challenges of getting past 50K over the longer term. Also, CNBC with a good piece about TikTok reportedly removing some crypto influencers, which maybe we'll talk about a little bit later on today. Still to come, the National Association of Manufacturers President Jay Timmons will talk about some infrastructure legislation, vaccine mandates, and a lot more. Dow's up 40. Crossing the tape just a couple moments ago, Pentagon spokesperson John Kirby says that we can confirm an explosion outside the Kabul airport. Casualties, he says, are unclear at this time. We will provide additional details when we can. Also, the tape saying that the president has been briefed on that explosion. Oh. If we get further details, of course, we'll bring it to you as we see some live pictures halfway around the world. In the meantime, it's time for Jim and Stop Trading.
Yeah, I want to talk about just Etsy for a moment. There are a lot of people who felt that when we had a reopening in the country that there would be fewer people who were making crafts on Etsy and maybe people would start going back to the mall. I think Etsy is going to be a company that came out of this with a newfound group of people, newfound workforce. Empowered workforce, mostly women, make things on Etsy, and many, many people who've just kind of fallen in love with it. So if you take a look, Josh Silverman, really good executive. There were a lot of people shorting this, betting this is a casualty of going back to work outside. No, it is now part of our firmament. And believe me, when you get a Father's Day, when you get a Mother's Day, any holiday, they do tremendous. I'm on the site constantly, and I'm not. It is not just because it's down the block from me, but what a company. And it's a winner. And I'm glad that they won because women empower 89% of the people who make stuff from women.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Huge for small business. How about tonight? Workday?
I've got a Workday. Friends of Mark Benioff. Obviously, that's a Neil Bushry. And then Upstart. This is another Benioff company. And they make artificial intelligence loans. You hired them. This is the way of the future. You're going to be able to get rid of loan officers, have more accuracy. Watch this Upstart. It's a brilliant company. Brilliant. You heard it here first.
Okay, I will. I'll watch.
We'll see you tonight.
I'll see you later.
Yeah. Why do you mock me?
I do not mock you. Are you mocking me?
Why do you hurt
me? One of my favorite lines from my heart.
I hurt you too.
We'll see you at 6, Jim. Mad Money with Jim Cramer, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. You've been listening to the opening bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate. Pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.